Malachi chapter 3. The last book of the Old Testament. And we know that from this point forward, the children of Israel has went 400 years without hearing from the Lord. Down here in verse 16, that's where I'm going to start at, but I'm going to read verse 15. And says, now we call the proud happy, yea, that work wickedness or not, or set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. We know that here it's the faithfulness of God's people, not to each other, but the faithfulness to the Lord. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them, for them that feared the Lord, and though upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son, and serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serve God and him that serveth him not. I want us this morning to look at over here in 1 Thessalonians. chapter 4. But we know about, and we've heard about the precious jewels. And these jewels are precious. I heard someone say one time, they went to the, I heard about this preacher that went, he went to a jeweler, and he went there to purchase a watch. Well, he went and he looked at all the watches that he'd seen and the prices that they had on them. He said the ones that I wanted, he said, I couldn't afford it. He said, because they are ones that will last. They the ones that will stay with me. I won't have to end up replacing it every couple of years. So he would not purchase one. So he went on home, and that day he got a package in the mail. And in that package, it was a big package. He said, I don't know what in the world is. I don't know who in the world thinks that much of me to you send me something this nice or this big. And he opened the package, the big box. And he opened that box and he grabbed all the paper and he pulled the paper out, the brown paper. He pulled it out and he said, this great big box, for all what's in here, That's a waste of money. That's a waste of money and spending for the box and the paper. He said, but he kept on digging. And he got down to the very bottom of the box after he took all the paper out. There was one little box in that great big box. I like that. And he says, oh no, what did my kids done? They done doing something. They just playing a prank on me. He opened that box and he looked at it. What was in it? Tears started coming to his eyes. He said, who in the world thinks of me that much to give me a watch like this? And it wasn't no Timex. It wasn't no all these other brands. It was a Rolex. Brand spanking new Rolex watch. And he took it and he went to the jeweler where he had been before. And he got the jeweler to look at this watch and see if it was a real Rolex or if it was fake or whatever. Because he said, you know, they got fake out here. You can go up to New York, you can buy them all day long up there for probably $15. And some of them shops up there. Because they're illegal. He says, all right. So jeweler, he went back there and he took it apart and everything. And he checked everything out. He says, this is a genuine Rolex watch. And the individual looked at him and he says, I'm not aiming to sell it. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to give it away. Somebody give it to me. But I would like to ask you if you know about how much this is worth. He said, you need to sit down. Preacher went over and he sat down. The other man sat in the other chair. He said, you're wearing a watch that I could not sell it for no less than $80,000. And he got to thinking about that. He got to thinking about that going home. And he remembered over here in the book of Malachi, talking about the jewels, the precious jewels of the Lord. You know, we are precious in the sight of the Lord. We are just as important to the Lord as the finest jeweler that there is. More precious to the Lord. And the Lord wants to use us for His honor and His glory. Why does he want to do that? He wants to do it for one reason and one reason only. That is because he has redeemed us for his own self. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. God has said, son, don't worry about it. You're mine. You're my child. Don't you worry about what's going on around you, because you cannot do nothing about it. You're my child. You let me handle that. And he said, that's just like when you have to, your daughter or your children will come home from his school and they'll have a note from his teacher there or a note from the principal and say that they want to see the parents. They want to see the child and the parents at school because they want to talk to them. What does the parents do? They go and they take that child to school. Why do they take them to school? First of all, to find out what they've done. But not just that. It's because of the love for the son, for the daughter, for the children. That's the reason they go. That's the reason they take the child back to school and they see the principal and the teacher. And the teacher says and tells them this and that and everything, what has happened. They had said something in the classroom or done something in the classroom. They went behind the teacher, whatever. The teacher had concern for them also. The principal did too. As far as the principal that was concerned for the child, God looks at us, God looks at Faith Baptist Church, as I'm the principal. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's trying to teach me where I can teach you something to where we can all go out here and teach someone else something else. That they can be able to look up to him. We need to be involved. We need to be involved with our children. We need to be involved with our family members. We need to be involved in society. Why? Because death has come. Where has death come? Death has come upon each one of us. And I am not talking about the one that has passed away, our loved ones that has gone on home. I'm talking about each one of us, each and every Christian. They have seen the death come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he announces his death, and when he announced that he was going to die, but he was going to raise again on the third day, that's when the people got involved. They got involved with what? They got involved with themselves. Because they come to find out that they really didn't know what to do. They did not know what to do for the Lord. They did not know about going out here and doing this and that and everything else for the Lord. They got involved. We need to get involved with our children. We need to get involved with our children's lives and know exactly what they're doing, where they're going, and who they're with. And if they are not with the right kind of people, if they're not doing the right kind of things, if they're doing something wrong, if they're doing sin, then it's up to us. First of all, as Christians, and then it's up to us as parents. Tell them that God is watching. Tell them that God is not pleased with them. Tell them that, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves you so much that he was willing to die for you. And he still loves you today. See, that's the reason I think people and we, the church today, in the last few years, the last 10 years I know of, the church has preached so much on love, on God's love, but they left majority of God's wrath out. They left Him out of the lies, because the only time the Lord gets with us and the only time the Lord really walks with us is when we go to Him and when we ask Him to help us through this day. I cannot go through a day without His help. And matter of fact, I don't want to go a day without His help. I need His help all the time. Just not this day. And now I can go 3 or 4 days because I come to church and I've got in the Word of God and I've talked to God and everything else. And then I can go 3 or 4 more days and not worry about talking to Him anymore. No, I need to talk to God just as much tomorrow and just as much tonight as I have any other time. Why? Because, see, I can't depend on this morning. I cannot really depend on this morning to get me through this week. Because when I do, then I'll take my eyes off of the Word of God. I will take my eyes off of His death. And we've all experienced the same kind of, the same type of death, but not the same kind. We haven't. His death is an unusual death. His death was on a Friday around noon that day. Now you know yourself. Today we can go ahead at 12 o'clock, the noonday, and we can look straight up and we can see the sun. We can see the brightness and the wholeness of God. But that day, when the noonday got there, it turned into darkness. It turned into darkness. It had to happen. Why did the noonday turn into darkness? Why wasn't it just at daybreak that it got real cloudy again? And we think it's still dark. Hey, if that happened, nobody would believe Him. But He was there hanging on the cross that morning.
And He'd been there. And they took the cross and they laid the cross down on the ground. Then they laid Him and placed Him upon the cross. Now the beam that they had, no doubt his back was hurting Him then. Because He was laid, His back was on the cross. And then His arms were stretched out. Now just think about that. Think about Him on the cross, His arms stretched out. Could we do that? Could I go and lay out a bunch of officers, take me into a wooded field or up on a mountaintop? Say, preacher, you're going to do something here today. We're going to do something to you today. And it's because you just didn't ridicule. You didn't care for them people down there that was talking about you. You didn't go and try to help them. We're going to put you on the cross. They're not going on the cross. Oh, yes, I know they run you down and they've done everything. They spit on you and everything else. They don't believe a thing you say and all that. I know that. We know that. We have evidence of it. We have it filmed. We have it taped. We have it recorded in what they say. They're innocent people. They're innocent. How are they innocent people when you have them, when you have the evidence right there in front of you? How are they innocent? They're innocent because I did not care anything for them. They're innocent because I did not go to them and I did not lift them up out of the mire. And I did not do anything to help them. That's the reason they're innocent. The reason the officers here in Danville or Pennsylvania County or whatever is going to lay me on the cross and put me to death is because of my lack of obedience. My lack of concern. My lack of love.
Thank God that I don't have to look at it that way no more. I don't have to look. Why? Because he's paid it all. He paid it all. He pardoned me that I can never be tried. I can never be convicted of anything.
Oh, yes, the law enforcement here in Danville, Pennsylvania County, yeah, but in the United States, the government and everything, oh, yeah, they can pick me up. They can take me to court. They can try me. They can convict me. They can put me in prison. I'm no better than what Paul or Silas was. I'm no better than what Peter was.
What has come? His love toward our family. He wants us to become a family once again. What has happened? Family is not family anymore. Why? Because we have so much that we have to do. We don't have that much to do to leave our family and not to speak to them. We don't. We don't have that much to do. Only thing we have to do is just serve the Lord. Be obedient unto Him. And as long as we serve Him, as long as we're obedient to Him, then He's going to give us the time to be with our family sometime that week. He loved individuals. He loves me. Not only does he love me, he loves my family. His love of heaven . See, the Lord Jesus Christ, he could never get his mind off of heaven. Never could. Why you say that, preacher? I say that because he always comes back with heaven on his mind. He always comes back. He says, Father, thy will be done. not mine.
Thy will be done. See, he was down here with sinners. He was down here, had sinners all around him.
He did not want the people to look to him as though he was somebody. That loved everybody. Family. His deliverance of our family. You know how he delivers my family? Me praying for them. And honoring the family's permission. Because see, sometimes our family will tell us, says, don't mention church to me anymore. Don't say anything to me about church. Don't say anything to me at all about salvation. Don't say anything at all to me about God. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't say anything to me about that. He's because I don't want to hear. You know what we need to do? We need to think right then. We need to say this. You'll never hear me bring up the church. You'll never hear me bring up the Word of God. You'll never hear me bring up anything at all like God. And I know that you don't want to hear me. You don't want to hear what I have to say. I understand that. I said, but you know, one thing I am going to do, I am going to talk to God about you. I'm going to bring up your name every day. And when we do, they listen. They'll listen. They'll listen. And we never know. We never know when that time comes. When they say, okay, Lord, I know I need you. Who are they going to go to? Who are they going to call on? Who are they going to call on to lead them to the Lord that knows the Lord? They're going to call on the one that has been talking to God. I had brothers, I had daughter-in-laws, I had some nieces and nephews down there with my brother. And my mother was down there. And my brothers, they was all down there. Then we got a call to come to Duke because they didn't give him that much more time. They say, you need to get here. Me and Shelby, I got off of work early that day, and me and Shelby, we went down there. I don't know if Christy went with us or not, did she?
The day he died.
Yeah.
It was on Sunday.
Yeah. But.
You think about the other time.
Yeah, when he was had his surgery.
Had surgery.
Yeah. But really, they basically almost give up on him, really. But when we got there, me and my wife both walked up in the hall, walked up to where we had to turn left to go to his room down in the ICU. I reckon it was ICU. And when I turned to go that way, I saw my mother, and I believe it was my youngest brother with her, come out from there. And when he did, I asked them both. I said, well, how's he doing? She says, Donnie, I really don't know. I just came by to see him like that. And I said, well, Mama, I said, let me go up y'all and pray with all y'all. Let's have prayer. She said, will you wait, please? Will you go back out? He's asked for you early this morning. And he wanted you to come back here as soon as you got here. I said, well, what does he want, me and him, we got kind of distance and everything because of some things that he had said and some things that he had done and everything, but he was still my brother and I still loved him. She says, Donnie, I don't know. He didn't say. He just wants to see you. I said, all right. So I walked back out, and as I walked through the double doors there, you had the curtains, all the curtain was pulled all around, and the curtain that was supposed to go around this way wasn't all the way. And he saw me. He saw the glimpse of me come in. And I went over to him on the right side of him and I talked to him. I said, Darrell, I says, what do you need? I said, you've asked for me. I said, now, you know, I've been praying for you. He says, I know it. He said, first of all, he said, I want to tell you I'm sorry. I said, Darrell, I said, forget about it. Tears started coming down his face. It's the first time in his life that I've ever seen him shed a tear. I've never have. And my mother hadn't either. Nobody had ever seen him shed a tear in the family. But that day, he shed tears. He wept. Where it says in the Word of God, where Jesus says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept too. And while Jesus was weeping, he was also weeping. He says, Donnie, I know I probably don't have much time left. And I want to ask you one thing. He said, is it a chance that I can get saved? I said, well, I said, yeah. I said, unless, you know, he hadn't spoke to you lately or anything, and you just keep on going on and you're doing the same old stuff and everything, and he don't ever touch your heart or anything like that, never speaks to you, you don't ever hear his voice, something like that. I says, I know that sometimes he will just allow the Spirit of God just to vanish and never come back no more. I said, but I don't believe he has with you. I don't believe, now I don't know. I said, the only one can answer, that's you yourself. I said, well, I want to ask you something. He said, you want to get to know God? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know what you've got to do. He said, Donnie, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to approach him. I said, we've been here talking. You know how to approach him. You know how to approach him. I said, only thing, he just wants to hear from you. He don't want to hear from me. He has heard all my prayer requests. He has heard my, and he has seen my tears go out. But he wants to hear from you now. It's nothing I can say. Where you might be saved. It's nothing I can say. I cannot do anything. If I could, Darrell, I would have done it 20 years ago. I said, but I can't. That's something you have got to do yourself. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to talk to him. I said, I don't want to hear that now. You don't know how to talk to him. I said, how long have we been talking? He said, you've been making for 15, maybe 20 minutes. I said, have you had any problem talking to me about what you need and what you'd like for the Lord to do? He said, no. Well, go to him and talk to him then. That's all he wants us. He wants us to talk to him in our own way. He don't want nothing phony from you. He don't want nothing phony from me. He wants us just like we are. If we cannot get the words out correctly, then yes, he can take that speech impediment and use it in a way that he knows exactly what you want. He knows exactly what you want now before you even ask him. I said, but you've got to ask him. I can't ask him. He said, Donna, I just don't know what to do. I said, well, I cannot do it for you. Then tears started flowing again. I mean, they come at times. I mean, from his eyes all the way down. He could have took a wash rag and he could have took them tears and he could have really washed his face. That's how big them tears were. And then all of a sudden, he said, Jesus, I don't know how to talk to you. And you probably don't want to hear from me. But if there's any way possible that you can save me, I sure would love it. Because Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven where you are at. He said, would you please just save me? Please. Tears coming down his face. Please, Lord Jesus, save me if you would, please. Then it got kind of quiet. And I could see where he was just speaking under his breath. And I knew what he was doing. He was thanking the Lord. Then a few minutes later, I asked him, I said, well, Darrell, I want to ask you something. He says, has the Lord done anything for you? I said, has Jesus done anything for me? He said, Donnie, he saved my soul. And he told me that the Father in heaven is going to write my name there in the book of life. He said, I don't know what the book of life is all about. I said, that's where every individual's name is in that's except Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I said, it's not going to be easy now, Darrell. I said, because I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to be on you like... like sweat on your back or something like that. He going to be on you. He going to tell you it ain't true. What you've done today was just a beast speaking. You just wasted your time and you just wasted what breath you had. And I said, Darrell, I'm going to tell you something. What you have to do when you hear something like that from the devil, you need to do one thing and one thing only. And you just say to the devil, I'm covered in his blood. See, that's one thing the devil does not want anybody to ever say anything about the blood of Jesus. Because see, it's not. Not what you say. It's what he done at Calvary. And shedding every drop of blood for you. He done it for you. He done it for me. He done it for Dennis. And he done it for Darrell. Now I don't know if they saved or not. But he still done it for them. He done it for you before you ever thought about even calling on his name. I said, I'm going to tell you. The devil's going to throw some tricks at you. And when he does, you got to be on the ball. Because if you don't, you're going to be right back in the shape you was in. You'll be saved. I said, but I've never seen an individual that has ever been saved that has just got away from God, not serving God anymore. Because I can look into their eyes and I can tell how miserable they are. There are people that's miserable because they know that they're not doing what they know they need to be doing. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you may just help us to be concerned about a family. And, Father, and be concerned about the lost. And, Father, that you may give us the words that we can say to them, Father. You can give us the words to encourage us to do what we need to do, Father. Father, because I do know it's not going to be long before you come back. And Father, when you come back, you're going to come back after the ones that has proclaimed you, that has asked you to save their soul. That's the church. We are the church, not this building. And Father, in being in church, we know, Lord Jesus, that you established the church. And you've established each one of us, your children, to do, Father, what you have spoke to us about. Lord, help us that we may go into the highways and the hedges and tell whoever we get in touch and whoever we see, whoever we start speaking to, the Father, we will not leave without telling them about Jesus. And then, Father, we need to pray for them. Lord, because we know, Father, that our prayers do go up. You do hear our prayers. I'm so thankful, Father, not only that. I'm thankful, Father, that you saved my brother Darrell. And I miss him today. But I know where he's at. He's right there with you, Jesus, helping you. Helping you to get to our homes ready there in heaven. The way you can be able to put out the welcome sign upon the mansions, Father, that you have prepared for each one of us. Lord, help us that we may stay faithful to thee. And Father, I pray, God, for Faith Baptist Church, Lord, that you'll help Faith Baptist Church. Help this church that they may grow. Not just in maybe wealth or anything like that. But Father, I just pray, Father, that it will grow, Father, where people will just come in and hear the gospel. And Father, yes, and some get saved. And we love you for everything that you're going to do. Because I know that we don't come to you in prayer and asking you to do something that you will not do. We know that you'll do it. In your own time, your own time frame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.